Well, good morning, Back Rose Church. Thank you for being with us on the 16th day of August, or 9th day of August? I'm not even sure what day it is, but we are appreciative that you're spending time with us, whether you're joining us online, whether you're joining us at live at one of our campuses. We just are grateful that you're seeking God and that you're doing that with us this morning. So a couple of announcements as we get ready to open our hearts to where God's leading us this morning. I want to remind us that Boscobel Campus is going to give away school supplies, have their school supply giveaway on August 17th. They're going to do that between 3 and 6. So if you need some school supplies or you need some information, just get a hold of the church office. We'll actually pick them up. The giveaway will be at the church on Buchanan Street, but you can contact the office if you have any questions. And also, we want to remind people of our upcoming town hall meeting. All 7 campuses will come together on that day, and we're going to spend some time sharing what's going well, where we need some help, where we need God's guidance, and where we can really celebrate what God has been doing through Backroads Church. It's open to everybody that wants to come in and share, have a voice, and just spend some time together. So that's going to be on August 26th at 6:30 at the Boscobel campus. With that being said, let me just pray for us as we get started, as we open our hearts, our minds. I pray that we come together seeking. And we come as an audience of one. We're here to be fed ourselves, but we're also here to worship. And that time of worship brings glory to God. So it's a choice that we make to be together, to share this time together, to open ourselves and lay ourselves before God's throne of grace. So let's pray. Lord, we come to you on this day seeking your healing and your restoring love. Lord, we would ask that you would give us courage to reach out to you in the good and easy times, as well as in times of strain and stress. Lord, open our hearts to receive your message of peace and hope today. We pray all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So if you're joining us in one of our campus churches, at this point you've probably shared your joys and your concerns as a community, which is one way that it's the way that we connect, the way that we actually care for each other, celebrate those good times as well as seek God's presence through healing and restoration, through different things like that. So, and if you're joining us at home, watching us online, God hears your heart. So if you'd like to lift those concerns out loud, he hears you. And if you just sit silently as we pray together, he hears your heart as well. So let's pray together. Gracious and loving God, we come before you this morning. We are just thankful. Thankful that you're a God who never gives up on your children. Lord, we confess that there are so many times when we've allowed fear to become greater than our faith. We've worried instead of trusted. We've spoken when we should have listened. We've acted before we've prayed more often than we'd like to admit, Lord. We've forgotten what we already know. We know that you are faithful, that you're good, and that you've never, ever abandoned us. So, Lord, we're humbled, and we seek your forgiveness. And we thank you that when we begin to sink under the weight of our fear and our guilt, our disappointment, our uncertainty, that you don't just stand at a distance, waiting for us to figure these things out. Like you did for Peter, you immediately reach out your hand. Thank you for your amazing grace that meets us exactly where we are and never just leaves us there. Father, today we pray for those who are facing storms in their lives. We lift up those who are battling illness, recovering from surgery, grieving the loss of loved ones, struggling with depression or anxiety, facing financial hardship, or carrying burdens that no one else can see. Remind them that even when the waves are high, you're still the Lord over them. We pray for our families. Strengthen marriages, Lord. Restore relationships that have been damaged. Bring healing where there's been hurt. Forgiveness where there's been bitterness. And Lord, give us peace where there's been some conflict. Help us remember that the people we love never really are enemies. And teach us to love one another as Christ has loved us. We pray for this church. Lord, continue to make Backroads a place where people encounter the grace of Jesus Christ. Give us courage to step out in faith when you call us, wisdom to keep our eyes always fixed on you. And Lord, give us compassion to reach those who are still searching for hope. May we never become so comfortable in the boat that we fail to follow wherever you lead us. We pray for our community, for those who serve in law enforcement, emergency services, healthcare, education, our military. Lord, protect them, strengthen them, use them to bring peace and hope to those who they serve. We also pray for those who don't know you yet. Open doors for conversations about faith. Give us boldness to invite others to experience the love and saving grace of Jesus. And Lord, whatever storm we may be facing, help us remember what we already know, that you're with us. We ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So as we come into this time where we share, or where I get to share with you, where God has led me and put on my heart to share this morning, I'm going to read from Matthew. This is from Matthew 14, verses 22 to 33. I'm going to read from the New International Version. So if you have a different version that you're following along with, just follow along, and we'll make sense of this together. So here's what it says. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a ladder or on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said. And they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You have, he said. Why did you doubt? He climbed into the boat. The wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, I believe there are moments in life when you look back and you just shake your head. Each one of us has one of these moments. Maybe it was something you said. Maybe it was a decision that you made. Maybe it happened in just a split second before your brain had time to catch up with your emotions. And then afterward, you're sitting there thinking, what was I thinking? I should have never done that. I should have known better. I've got one of those moments that still comes back to me every now and then. Actually, it comes back to me quite a bit. I carry a lot of guilt. It's one of those moments that just, I should have known better. My younger brother, John, and I, we're pretty much pitted against each other our entire lives. I was 2 years older than him. I was the oldest. John was the middle brother. And John was always my dad's favorite. And my mom knew that. And she knew exactly how to use that fact that John was my dad's favorite, she could use that to keep conflict and chaos alive in our family. It seemed that there was always some kind of a competition between us. Looking back now, I understand a lot more than I did back then. But at the same time, we were just two brothers, and we knew how to push each other's buttons. Maybe we were a little bit like Jacob and Esau that I talked about last week. Well, one day I was leaving to go somewhere. Honestly, I don't even remember exactly where I was heading. Maybe I was headed to work that day. Maybe I was going to a friend's house. That part of the story isn't important at all. Here's what I remember from that day. As I was pulling down the street that we lived on, my brother John was walking home. He was a little younger than me. He didn't have a driver's license yet. And I stopped behind him, and more than likely, I stopped next to him, beside him, and I probably had something smart to say to him because, one, that's what brothers do, and two, we had an influence that was kind of keeping us divided, separated. Instead of walking away after my probably smart remark to him, John decided he was going to jump up on the hood of my car, and he kind of jumped up on the edge, and his hands were planted on the hood, and his feet were hanging off the side right behind my tire, right on the driver's side. Now, being this just kind and gentle and patient, older loving brother that I was, I very, very politely asked John to get off of my car, and he didn't. So I asked him again, and after a couple more peaceful requests that ended with the same stubborn response, I finally decided that I had had enough. And my response was to hit the gas on my car. Now, the street we lived on wasn't very long, but I probably got that car moving pretty quickly. I probably reached, I'm going to say, somewhere around 35 miles an hour before I slammed on the brakes and I launched my brother head over heels down that street. In that instant, my heart stopped. I honestly believed that I had just killed my brother. By the grace of God and by his toughness, he actually got up. He stood up. Somehow, after launching down the road, rolling down on the pavement, somehow he wasn't seriously hurt, not physically at all. And he walked away. He just turned and walked right by me and walked home. The truth is, he walked away, but I really didn't. Inside, I was absolutely crushed. I'd been hit by a car. I knew exactly what that felt like. I knew how dangerous it was. I knew better. I remember thinking, what in the world was I thinking? I should have known better than to do something like that. So my question is, have you ever had one of those moments? Maybe it wasn't with a speeding car and a stubborn little brother, but maybe you said something in anger that you wish you could just take back. Maybe you made a decision in the heat of the moment. Maybe you let your pride get in the way. Maybe fear took over. And later, after everything settled down a little bit, you looked back and you thought, I should have known better. I think every single one of us has experienced that. And I think that's exactly why this story of Peter can speak to us so powerfully. In the context of the story is really important this morning. Jesus had just learned that his cousin, John the Baptist, has been executed. All he wanted, all Jesus wanted at that moment, he wanted to be left alone. He wanted some time to himself just to grieve. He wanted to go before his father and pray. But in spite of that, the crowds followed him. And instead of sending them away, Jesus, he worked through the grief and he did what he does. He healed the sick. Then he fed more than 5,000 people with just five loaves and two fish. By the end of the day, everyone, including Jesus, was completely exhausted. So, to just find a moment's peace, Jesus, he sent his disciples across the lake while he finally went up on the mountain alone to pray. The disciples had already seen enough to know who Jesus was. They had watched Jesus heal disease. They had seen demons cast out. They had watched him perform miracle after miracle. They had seen him provide when there was absolutely no food. They had watched him do what no one else could do. If anyone had a reason to trust Jesus, it was these disciples who were following him. But sometime in the night, a storm came as Jesus prayed alone on that mountain. The Sea of Galilee, where they were rowing across, is known. Unbelievable. Technology, I hate it, but we need it. The Sea of Galilee is known exactly for that, for storms. The surrounding hills create this condition where violent storms can just appear almost without any warning at all. So on this night, the wind began to howl. The waves crashed against the boat. The disciples, who were already exhausted, now they're soaked. They're terrified. And isn't that how fear creeps into us? Isn't that how fear works? Fear has a way of making us forget the things that we already know, the things that we believe in, but fear can steal that from us. We know that God's been there or been faithful before. We know that he's carried us through impossible situations. We know he's never once, God has never once abandoned us. We know he keeps every single promise. But then a storm shows up. And suddenly, all those certainties that we have, all that belief we have, begins to disappear behind the winds and the waves. The disciples, they were so overwhelmed by fear that when Jesus came walking across the water, they didn't even recognize him. Matter of fact, they thought he was a ghost. You see, fear will distort reality. It makes our problems look bigger than God. It makes tomorrow seem hopeless. It convinces us that we're all alone, even when Jesus is standing right there in front of us. And in the midst of that storm, Peter does what Peter always seems to do. He's the first one to speak out. Lord, he says, if it's really you, Lord, tell me to come. Tell me to come to you. And Jesus answers him with one simple word. Just what he said. Jesus says, come. Can you imagine that moment? Peter, in this storm, climbs over the side of that boat, one foot, and then the other, and then somehow he actually starts walking on the water. As long as his eyes remained fixed on Jesus, he's doing what should have been absolutely impossible. Yet in that moment, his human nature takes over. It kicks in. He notices that the wind is blowing against him. He feels the spray of the sea hitting him in the face. He hears the waves crashing all around him. He starts thinking about everything that could go wrong. The moment that his focus shifts from Jesus to the storm, Peter begins to sink. Here's the thing. Peter didn't forget who Jesus was. He forgot what he already knew about Jesus. He had already seen Jesus heal the sick. He had already seen or watched Jesus feed 5,000 people just earlier that day. with no food. He had already witnessed miracle after miracle that Jesus had done. He already knew that Jesus was 100% trustworthy. For just a moment, though, that storm, being in the midst of that storm, actually became bigger than the Savior. Here's something we need to look at. Before we get too hard on Peter, maybe we ought to look in the mirror ourselves. How many times have we forgotten what we already know? How many times have we allowed fear to become bigger than our faith? How many times have we let anger make our decisions? How many times have we spoke out before thinking? How many times have we worried ourselves sick over something that God has already taken care of? How many times have we forgotten everything that God has already proven about Himself? The beautiful part of this story isn't that Peter failed. The beautiful part of this story is what Jesus did next. The scripture says immediately Jesus reaches out his hand and he caught Peter. Immediately. Not after Peter apologized. Not after Peter promised to do better. Not after Peter earned another chance, but immediately. Jesus didn't stand there with his arms folded saying, "Well, Peter, I hope you've learned your lesson." Immediately, he reached for him. That's the grace that we receive. Grace doesn't wait until we've got everything figured out. Grace reaches for us even while we're sinking. Grace reaches for us when we've made a mess of things. And all we can manage to say is, "Lord, save me." Maybe that's exactly where some of us are today. Maybe you've made some decisions you wish you could undo. Maybe you've spoken words you wish you could take back. Maybe you've allowed fear to control your life. Maybe in that storm or in a storm, you've drifted further from God than you ever imagined you might have drifted. Maybe you've been carrying around the weight of hearing that little voice keep telling you that you should have known better. Truth is, you probably should have. I probably should have too. We all, every one of us, should have known better. But here's the good news of the gospel. Jesus already knows. And he still reaches out his hand immediately to us. A guy named William Barclay, he's a Scottish theologian. He lost his only daughter in a tragic drowning accident just days before her wedding. And later, while reflecting on this particular passage, this very passage, he said he wasn't nearly as concerned about whether Jesus calmed the storm on the Sea of Galilee as he was about the fact that Jesus had calmed the storm inside William Barclay's own heart in this loss. I love that thought. Because Jesus, sometimes he calms the storm around us. But many times, maybe more than not, he calms us while the storm is still raging around us. One author put it like this. He said, "I'd rather be in a rocking boat with a calm Jesus than in a calm boat with a shaky captain." Friends, every single one of us has moments when we look back and say, "I should have known better." But maybe there's a better way to say this. Maybe we just forgot what we already knew. We forgot that God has always been faithful. We forgot that he's never once abandoned us. We forgot that his grace is greater than all of our I should have known betters, all of our malfunctions. We forgot that Jesus is really still in control, even when the wind is howling and the waves are just crashing in upon us. Our hope has never been grounded in knowing better. Our hope is grounded in knowing Jesus. Because when our strength fails, and it will fail, when our faith wavers, and it will waver, when our fear gets the better of us, which it will too, when we begin to sink, and we will, Jesus is still reaching out for us. To God be the glory. Amen. Let's close with some prayer today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence with us here today. Thank you for reminding us that even when we forget what we've already known or what we already know, you never, ever forget us. When fear overwhelms us, you always remain faithful. When our faith begins to falter, your hand is already there reaching towards us. Lord, as we leave this place, help us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus rather than on the storms that around us. Lord, give us the courage to trust you in those uncertain moments. Grant us wisdom to remember your faithfulness and the confidence to walk wherever you call us to go. Lord, we also dedicate our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings to you today. Lord, we would ask that you would receive them as an expression of our gratitude, as an expression of our trust. We would also, Lord, ask that you would multiply them for the work of your kingdom. Use these gifts, each and every one of them, to proclaim the gospel, to care for those in need, to strengthen your church, to help more people discover hope, that hope is found in Jesus Christ alone. Lord, now send us into this world as people of that hope. May we carry the peace of Christ into every conversation, every home, every single workplace, every challenge that we face this week. And when the storms come, as we know they will, remind us to remember what we already know, that you're with us, that you're for us, that you'll never let us go. We ask all of this in the strong and saving name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.